today as we come to the table.
All of us can give the basic gospel. Any one of you can lead someone to Christ. It is simply this: Jesus died for your sins. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Jesus died for our sins. If we will believe that he died for our sins and his blood paid for our sins before God, because the Bible says only blood can pay for sins, if we'll believe that and ask forgiveness of our sins, turn from our sins and give our life to the Lord, we will be saved, we'll be born again. That's the gospel. That's the basic. But the thing is, the Bible says to those of us that have been walking with the Lord any length of time, be a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know the word of God.
It always seems like a huge and scary thing to share the gospel with people. The reality is, it is scary, and it is a big deal. But God sees that. God sees you in your fear. And yet, he still calls you to share about his love. Because you've experienced it firsthand, who else better to share the gospel to share Jesus? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you to trust in the Lord, even when something seems scary and daunting. Sharing the gospel will become easy when you know the God you're talking about. The more time you spend with Jesus, the easier it'll be to tell someone about him and what he has done for you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 8, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
So I go to that coffee shop, and the sweetest man's in there, and he's back there serving. He made a fantastic cup of coffee. I said, what did you do? And he gives me all the stuff. And whenever you have somebody that just really can tell you what they did and how they filtered and what it's, it was a fantastic, you know, cup of coffee or whatever. And I could tell he had this real kind of just bright, just, you could tell this guy was a believer is what I thought. I said, you're a Christian, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. I said, what's your story? He said, well, he said, God sent me here from Ethiopia. And they started this coffee shop, and we're reaching the, we have a church here, we have family that are believers here from Ethiopia, and we're reaching our community here in this area through this coffee shop and looking for opportunities just to minister in this area. And I thought, that is so cool. That is so cool. Guys, when I was sitting there, I didn't think about it so much as I began to mull over that and think about how cool that was. This guy was fruit of Philip. Think about that. That guy that made my coffee is because Philip went down to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. It spread to Ethiopia. God brought him back to Atlanta just to make me a cup of coffee. Obviously, it was a much larger picture than that. But I thought about, Lord, look at how you brought this full circle. How my life, I was studying for Sunday morning, how my life that morning was being affected by Philip, who we'd be reading about 2,000 years later. Guys, listen, don't think whenever you share with one person, you're witness the impact that it can have for thousands of years. Now, I think we're not going to have thousands of years left till the Lord comes back, but my point is simply this, and this is another thing that hit me that's so cool. I used to say this, and I've got to reel this back in and now kind of say it a different way. Generally, this is a true statement, but I've got to now modify it. I used to say, guys, serve the Lord with all your heart now because this is your only chance. And that's true. But what I realized at that moment is, if we serve the Lord right now, then it carries on even after we die, we're getting more reward in heaven. Philip is getting reward in heaven for what that young man is doing now in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Think about that. And of course, I run through in my mind, hey, come, Philip, come on in. Yes, Lord, what is it? Hey, got some more to give to you. You're kidding. No, that guy that, you know, that came media went up to Stone Mountain or whatever, he's still sharing the gospel, so here's some more reward or whatever. I don't know. All I'm saying is that don't think your reward is not going to continue to rack up in the investment that you make now. Yes, invest everything you can for the moment, but don't deny the fact that God may be working to do something much greater for a longer period of time. But again, this is so amazing to me. So it goes back now. He's reading the prophet Isaiah, And by the way, this is an amazing thing here, because this, to read a prophet Isaiah, understand, to have a scroll showed the fact this man was extremely wealthy. Okay, we have Bibles today. They didn't have Bibles then. They had Bibles, but they were in scrolls. And the scrolls were extremely expensive. You had to be very, very wealthy to buy a scroll. You couldn't just own a Bible and have one at your house. Why so? They were all handwritten. They didn't have the printing press. And they were so detailed, the scribes were, that as they wrote out the scrolls, if they made one mistake anywhere in the scroll, you got all the way to the end of the 66 chapters of Isaiah, you threw the whole thing away. Because they could not allow any mistake in the Word of God. So when these scrolls were completed, they were done very meticulously. They took an extreme amount of time. They were extremely expensive. And no doubt when he went to Jerusalem, he probably purchased that scroll there. Maybe they already had a scroll that he traveled with. I don't know. But it was a sign of great wealth. It would have been a great, you know, honor to be able to have that scroll that he's reading. So God is ministering to him. And again, if he bought it in Jerusalem, which he probably did, you know, the bookstore there on the Temple Mount or something, only the rich would have been able to buy it. But I think about that. This was his heart after God. Traveling all the way from Ethiopia, being empty, getting there, not being allowed to go to church, standing in the foyer in the area of the God-fearers because you are not one of the children. You're not a Jew, and you couldn't be a part of it. He buys a scroll. He's traveling home going, God, where are you? I need you. I hear about you. I've heard they passed down of generations and all the greatness and all the things you've done, but God, I can't seem to find it. Where's my family? Where do I fit in? Where do I belong? Thank you for letting me serve the king and serve the queen, but I'm a eunuch. I can't get married. I have no kids. I have no generation. I have nothing. Now, again, I'm adding a lot to this. I don't want to say this is what he was thinking, but I know what I'd be thinking. And so you see his heart. And God saw his heart. And what I love about the Lord is anybody that truly is seeking God, God sees your heart. And here's this, God will find you. God will find you. If you're wanting God, don't worry. He will chase you down. He will find you. You know, it's interesting. I look at my testimony. When I came to the Lord, I wasn't at church. I wasn't around a bunch of Christians. God came to the clubs and grabbed me out of the clubs. I got saved in my apartment by myself. This is God. If you want God, God will find you and God will chase you down. Now, this is an avenue. This is an opportunity for that. But at the same time, if your heart is there, God is going to speak. Notice what it says, verse 29. It says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go and overtake the chariot. So he runs down there. We talked about what that scene would have been like. So Philip ran to him, probably because of the caffeine. I mean, you know, the coffee thing. But anyway, I'll drop it, I promise. Anyway, so he ran to him, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? That was very normal in that day to read the scriptures out loud. They would do that in the synagogues, and for those who had scrolls, they would read the Word of God out loud, which, by the way, is not a bad practice, because hearing the Word of God has great power, even just hearing it yourself. So he's reading it out loud, and notice this, as he's reading it, he's reading in Isaiah, and I guarantee you, the place he's reading, again, God set up. Notice he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. That's what I call an open door. Okay? God will give you divine appointments. God will open up doors for you to be able to share. The question is, are you ready? When God gives you that door, are you ready? Okay, here's the thing. All of us can give the basic gospel. Any one of you can lead someone to Christ. It is simply this. Jesus died for your sins. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Jesus died for our sins. If we will believe that he died for our sins and his blood paid for our sins before God, because the Bible says only blood can pay for sins, if we'll believe that and ask forgiveness of our sins, turn from our sins and give our life to the Lord, we will be saved. We'll be born again. That's the gospel. That's the basic. But the thing is, the Bible says to those of us that have been walking with the Lord any length of time, be a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know the word of God. And why do we need to know the word of God? Because we need to do what Philip's going to do here. If we hear someone asking questions about the word of God, we need to have answers no matter where he is. Notice this. And he asked Philip to come sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this, and this is out of Isaiah 53. This 52 and 53 talk about the suffering Messiah. Again, not by chance, not by chance. God set this up. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, absolutely. And who will declare his generation? That is, he had no children either, Ethiopian eunuch. Who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and note this, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Why was he able to begin at that scripture? Because he knew the word of God. And see, this is where we as believers, we need to know the Word of God good enough so if God gives us an opportunity, we can share. What if you run into someone Jewish that doesn't even look at the New Testament? Could you share Jesus Christ? What about in Jesus' day, the Sadducees? They only believe the first five books of the Bible. He shared the gospel with them from that. See, God has spread His gospel out all through the Word of God. By the way, as you're reading, but Mark, I've tried to read through the whole Bible. And I get clogged down. I get into all the sacrifices and all the stuff there in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. It's so hard to read through. Listen, if you understand that Jesus is on every page of your Bible, it will change the way you read your Bible. And Philip says right here, it began right there from that scripture because he understood it and preached Jesus. I love it. And notice it says, as they went down the road, they came to some water. Now, again, we talked about the fact that it was a divine setup that he was reading that portion of scripture about Jesus and his sacrifice. What about this? You're in the middle of the desert and you come upon water. I mean, I would say this is a setup. God is going to thoroughly save this man. He's going to be saved, become born again, hearing the gospel, what he so longed for, looking for that place that was missing. Now God's going to fill it by sending the evangelist to him. Now he's going to be baptized. He's now going to be filled with the Spirit. He's going to go back into Africa and spread the gospel to that region. Again, just God's hand in all of this, so amazing. And no doubt Philip recognized it. No doubt the Ethiopian eunuch recognized it as well. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" It's like, I want to do this. This is what I've been looking for. But God came and found me. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Again, notice his emphasis. I want to make sure you really mean this. Why do you think he did this? Well, it might be because of Simon the sorcerer. Remember, he had just been with Simon the sorcerer who said he believed, but then very obviously he didn't, or something was going on there, and Peter ended up rebuking him as we saw him last week. But again, this is the same reason we do this when we do baptisms. We ask you, give us your testimony. Let us know that you truly know the Lord, that you're truly born again before we're going to do this, because I never want to put false security in somebody's heart when it's not there. Listen, I grew up in the South like many of you did. And the bottom line is, in the South, we grew up in church, and at least the way I grew up, you kind of think you're going to heaven because you grew up going to church. I did. And I spent 25 years of my life thinking, you know what, I'm going to go to heaven, I've been baptized, I believed, all the things that seemed to be there. But it wasn't until I was 25 years old and God saved me in my apartment and revealed himself to me that I realized I was unsaved the entire time. I would not have gone to heaven if I had died before the age of 25. And now suddenly I was born again and going, oh my goodness, I can't be the only one in the South that has this type of delusion. There have to be others that have been tricked this way as well. Now, I know there's a lot that do know and are saved, but there's a lot of marks out there who don't know the Lord. And that's why in the South, we have to, when you talk to people, look, you're not wrongfully judging by saying, so when did you give your life to the Lord? So tell me about it. So do you know that you know him? Do you know that you're born again? Do you have any questions that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? The Bible says that if you're born again, you know you're going to heaven. God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Yes, Christians have moments of doubt. That's not what I'm talking about. But your general life, you will know, I'm born again and I'm going to heaven. And if you don't know that growing up in the South, you may be like I was. You may have never really met him. And that is not to be offensive. That is to be loving. That's, you know what? I want to give you an opportunity to receive by giving you that message that Philip gave to the Ethiopian eunuch. If you simply believe and receive, the Bible says you will be born again. But it's got to be from your heart. And so I love Philip here basically saying, you know what? I hear you saying you believe. I hear you saying you want to be baptized. That's good and all. But I met a guy, Simon the sorcerer, who did all the same things, and it was fake. Is this real? And notice what he answers. I love his answer. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is, not only do I believe he's the Messiah, I believe he was God in human form. It's like, good answer. Good answer. You know him. He knows you. Let's get in the water. You know, it's time to celebrate, so to speak. So notice this. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, again, I've done so many baptisms. I can picture this in my mind. You go down in the water, and the guy's excited. You pray with him. You know, you're ready for this. Let's do this. He baptizes him. He comes back up, and I love to see that smile and that just joy that's in the heart of the face as they come back up. And no doubt, probably some hugs and some, you know, these kind of things, sharing what God has done, this whole thing, in this amazing miracle for both of them as they watch God working. And it says, and when they came out of the water, look at this, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And the eunuch went his way rejoicing, but Philip was found at Azotus. Now, again, what happened here? This caught away is the word harpazo. It's the same word used of the rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In other words, it would appear here that when they came out of the water, when the Ethiopian eunuch and all the other guys weren't looking, or at least the Ethiopian eunuch, God just went and took him, picked him up and took him 20 miles away to Azotus, which is modern day Ashdod, and put him back down there. For that's a great way to travel. I wish I could travel that way, right? The Jesus Airlines, you know? But he just takes him out of there. Now imagine what that would have been like. I mean, Philip would have been like, oh my goodness, wow, I'm here in Ashdod. That was pretty cool. You know, I got called down to desert. I didn't know how long I'd be there. Lord, you had a big surprise for me, and it's greater than I ever dreamed or imagined. I got to share the gospel, and what a great adventure. And notice it says, for his sake, at the end of this, it says, in passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So he preached the gospel in every city as he worked his way up to Caesarea. We know historically he ended up going on to Caesarea, getting married, having four daughters that were all had the gift of prophecy. Again, what a blessing that was. And we'll see that a little bit later. They're about 20 years down the road. Not won't take us that long to get there, but 20 years down the road on their timeline. And kind of wonderful having these daughters that have the gift of prophecy, but you couldn't get away with anything. I think about that. Can you imagine? Who took the last cookie? Dad did. How do you know? God told me. Ah! You know, plus there's some chocolate right there. But anyway, but he had a beautiful family and a whole new season. And some of you, God may be moving you to a whole new season. Many of you I know that have moved into the area. It's a whole new season for you, but God's in it. God has a reason that he's brought you here. There's a whole new season. There's a whole new reason. And God's going to do something brand new in your life and the people's lives around you. So rejoice in that, accept it and receive it, and allow God to do what he's doing, because God used it here again to change a continent. Who knows what God will do in your life and through your obedience and serving the Lord in some new season. And it might not be because you moved here. You may be from here and whatever the case might be, but God is going to use you and God is going to work through that. But now I think about the eunuch here from his perspective. Think about him. Isn't there excited? He's filled with joy. He's finally, you know, just whatever, he turns around, he's like, thank you so much. Where'd he go, guys? I don't know. Is he not with you? I don't know. Where is he? I'm looking for him. He's like, you can't exactly hide in the desert, right? He's gone. And I think about that. What would I have been thinking? He probably thought that Philip was an angel. I don't know. Maybe when he got to heaven, it's like, oh, you're not an angel. No, I just, God sent me down there, then he yanked me out and brought me here. It's kind of this rapture practice thing before we get to the real thing later on. Whatever the case might be, I don't know exactly what he thought, but I think about him just getting in the chair and rejoicing and saying, God, thank you. I don't know, was he real? Was it an angel? All I know is you came to me. You made me understand your word. And finally, what I've been searching for, the emptiness is now filled, and there's joy, and I understand it, and I am part of a family. I know I'm a foreigner. I'm not a Jew. I wish I was, but at least maybe I'm some part of your family. I may never be fully in like the Jews are. I may never be fully as close as they are, but you've allowed me, a foreigner from another country, and a eunuch on top of that, to be a part of your kingdom. Lord, thank you. And I think sometimes we give our life to the Lord, and we have that mindset. Lord, I'm just glad to be in. And I get that, just glad to be saved. But you need to understand, you're more than just in. You're a family member. You've been literally brought into the family of God that was ordained before the foundation of the earth. It's not an accident. You didn't work your way in by good works or by you were nice or somebody finally let you in. You are a family member. You're no longer a foreigner to God. You're a family member. You're in his living room. You're sharing his bread, his drink, his life, his joy, his fellowship. And I just think about the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, if you had that very expensive scroll in your chariot, which was a blessing to have any Bible around, and you're traveling now a long journey back to Ethiopia, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with joy, you finally have found, you know, God found you, and you find the answers to life, so to speak, what do you think you'd be doing with that scroll? You'd be reading it. So I decided to look at what he would be reading right after that. And that's where I want to finish today, to see how sweet and intimate God is to this Ethiopian eunuch, and how sweet and individual and intimate God is to each of us, because he'll do the exact same thing for you and I. Turn to Isaiah chapter 56 as we finish today. Now, he was reading in Isaiah 52 and 53, but once he finished with that, and again, probably reading it over and over and over, I think about Philip sitting in the chariot and reading with about Jesus suffering and all that Jesus went through, and him getting excited and his eyes being open. Yes, that's him. It's talking about Jesus, you know, and he was marred and they did nail him to a cross and he was rejected and all this stuff. And so he's read all that. He's excited. He understands who it is it's talking about. He gets back in the chariot and he continues reading. And again, there's just some very exciting things you read about just the abundant and full life in chapter 55 and the word of God and all that. He would have very quickly and shortly come to chapter 56. And you talk about his eyes and his heart and his you know, his heart stopping and his eyes opening wide I just try to think about being that person when he came to this place. Notice what he comes to as he's reading and the Spirit of God is ministering to this Ethiopian eunuch. Starting in verse 3, look at what it says. Again, feeling like we talked about an outcast, not a part, not this, whatever, but I'll take whatever you can give me. And God says, no, you're way more than that to me. Look at verse 3. Do not let the son of a foreigner, that's me, be thinking, who is joining himself to the Lord, that's me, speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Well, I didn't think I could really be a part of your people. They wouldn't even let me go into the service. No, don't say that. This king will bring you back, and you'll be on my holy mountain. You'll be one of my kids. You're going to be on the inner circle. You're going to be worshiping and praising and having all the blessings of one that loves you and is a part of your family with you. I love this. Think about the joy. He was already joyful. He says, I'll make them joyful in my house of prayer. There's going to be greater joy. Joy inexhaustible would be a way to say it. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for who? For all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, yes, I will gather to him others, that is Ethiopians and others, besides those who are gathered to him. That is, Jesus came first to the Jew, but then he comes to us, the Gentile as well, and he says, I will make you better than sons and daughters. You are a part of my family. Guys, do you feel like an outcast? You're not. You're not. If you're a believer, you're not an outcast. I don't care how you feel. You're a part of the family of God. You may be awkward socially. You may not fit into the groups. You may not know what to say. You may not get invited to all the things and feel like, wow, how come nobody really likes me or whatever. But in God's eyes, you are right there in the center of his family, and he's got all the love of the universe forever for you. You're in. You're with him. And there's no greater place to be. If you don't know the Lord and you're feeling like an outcast, well, in many ways, you are when it comes to the kingdom. Now, maybe you're feeling that way among the world, but yes, there's an outcast in the sense of you're not a part of the family. Not because God doesn't want you to be a part of the family. Not because God wants you to be an outcast. But you've got to come to him and say, Lord, I choose what you've done for me. I want to be a part of your family. Think of it this way. He said, I want as many people to be a part of my family as they can, and I'm going to go make it possible. I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life so my family can be as big as I want it to be for those that will come. I'm not going to force anybody. But I'm going to spill my blood and make a major sacrifice, leave heaven, come to the earth as a man, do this so that those who want to can come to me. And if that's you and you want to come to Jesus, you are not only welcome to come, and you're not going to be like, oh yeah, the Ethiopian that got saved. You'll never be on the inside. You're kind of always going to be in the fort. No, you're going to be in the middle of the house with a name better than sons and daughters. How does it get any better than a son and a daughter? I don't know. But we'll find out in heaven, won't we? That's what the Lord offers you this morning. So I want to finish by saying this. Philip went to a new season, and we're going to see him again 20 years from now. We'll get to that later on. And God did great things during that season. Trust the Lord. He knows what he's doing, and God will lead you in that new season. Rest. And for those of you that feel God drawing you in like that Ethiopian eunuch, and you're saying, you know what? God is speaking to me for the first time. My eyes are open. I've never fit in. You do now. You do now through the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for all those in here that know you. And maybe for some of them that now are struggling, saying, you know what, I don't feel like I fit in. And Lord, maybe down here they don't. Maybe they never will. Maybe they'll be a little bit awkward like I am until the day I die. But you know what? I'm not awkward to you. You're my Father. You're my Lord, my King, even my brother. You're my everything. You're my family.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells the incredible story of how the early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel throughout the world. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries in history, was transformed by God's grace and used mightily to preach the gospel. Yet, Paul constantly reminded believers that everything was done by God's power, not his own. He didn't rely on persuasive words or human wisdom. He simply proclaimed the truth, and the Holy Spirit opened hearts and changed lives. Where do you need the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life today? We'd be happy to speak with you or connect with you through our website. You can call us at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website, thewaymedia.net, and use our questions and comments link to reach out. Want to hear this message again? You can easily download the Way Media app. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. And we hope you've been encouraged by this time in the book of Acts. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to have you join us on a Sunday morning. TheWayMedia.net has all the information you need about service times and location. We look forward to meeting you. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Acts here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.